Amen. You can be seated. Hope College. It's a little warmer today, so I'm excited about that. Y'all can give it up, because it's warmer. I'm praying that there will be no more snow, but God is in charge, so I'll just try to trudge my way through. I have the great privilege this morning of introducing to you Keziah Wright. Y'all give it up for Keziah. That's Keziah Wright, like W-R-I-G-H-T, not like right on, like with, you know, Keziah Wright with a W. But she is awesome. She's a freshman. She is a social work major. She's from, there you go, Westfield, Indiana. Okay, there y'all know where that is, because I don't, but God bless Westfield. And she's gonna read our scripture for today.
Okay. So the word of the Lord says in Mark 3:28-30, truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemies against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said he has an unclean spirit.
Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Y'all give it up for Keziah. So in the backdrop of Mark 3, verses 28 through 30, there's Jesus having endured a long day spent healing people and adding more fuel to the fire, you could say, going against Jewish tradition. He healed the man who had a withered hand on the Sabbath. This was an unthinkably just big no-no. It was a no-no to the sanctimonious two-faced guardians of the law, these cats that the Bible calls Pharisees. While healing droves of people, Jesus commissioned 12 of his closest friends to preach his message, and he also empowered them to have authority to cast out demons. Remarkably, even knowing that he'd soon turn him over to the authorities, that he would drop a dime on Jesus, Jesus even gave Judas the same power that he gave to everyone else, the other disciples. So Jesus has arrived home after all of this. He's looking to recuperate. He's looking to hang out, to like just chill. And the crowd came again, is what Mark says. And as the crowd came again, scribes, a kind of ancient record keeper or journalist, they began talking smack to Jesus. If you want to write something, don't talk smack to Jesus. It's not going to end well. But they started talking smack to Jesus, and they were exclaiming that it was only through the power of a demon that he was actually casting out demons. So they were calling Jesus like a demon. But Jesus, you know, he's smooth as ice and sometimes twice as nice, and so he posed this question to them. He said, how can Satan cast out Satan? How can Satan cast out Satan? And it's then, in his closing to the group, that he says, truly, I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter, but whoever blasphemies against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, speaking of the scribes, he has an unclean spirit. For millennia, the church has pondered what exactly this unpardonable sin, you might say, looks like that Jesus speaks of. In Scripture, we find some key behavioral routines or identities or lifestyles that some, y'all repeat that for me, some. One more time, some, all right, that some people understand as prohibiting one's admission into the kingdom of God. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, it lists the following: people who are sexually immoral, meaning they're fornicators, they're adulterers, those practicing homosexuality or bestiality, and so on and so forth. It also lists idolaters and thieves, the greedy, drunkards, robbers, and among others who are unfit to be in that number when the saints go marching in. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 11, it lists those who kill their father or mother, murderers in general. It lists slave traders and liars. And there, Paul describes these unrepentant persons as lawless and disobedient, godless and sinful, unholy and profane. This biblical reprimand should not be dismissed. It cannot be dismissed. And yet, in Christ, we must also declare our status as adoptees, being grafted into God's forever family by grace through faith, representing new wine put into fresh wineskins of an unfolding precious kingdom. Amen, somebody. So what I'm trying to say to you is, yes, Jesus is the hound of heaven. Amen. Does Jesus hold on to us ridiculously tighter than we can ever hold on to him? Sure enough, forever and always. But of course, he's Jesus. Nothing and no one can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And still, none of that can be an excuse to tempt divine providence, to act like your relationship with Jesus is a spiritual get out of jail free card. Even so, what about this business of blaspheming against the Holy Spirit? The explanation of N.T. Wright, arguably a modern New Testament scholar without equal, is the best explanation that I've encountered. He writes, this is N.T. Wright, "It isn't that God gets specially angry with one sin or another in particular. It's rather that if you decide firmly that the doctor who is offering to perform a life-saving operation on you is in fact a sadistic murderer, you will never give your consent to the operation. When we credit to Satan that which belongs to God, we're in dangerous, dangerous territory. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In our text, Jesus spoke and he said, whoever blasphemies against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they, meaning the scribes, had said, he has an unclean spirit. If no one has ever told you, let me make it quite plain right now. It is only to die outside of Christ that marks the irrevocable disbanding of hope. Did y'all catch that? It's only to die outside of Christ that marks the irrevocable disbanding of hope. That means it's gone. Those on that path have rejected God because they've lived only for themselves. And if only for themselves, then also for Satan. They have, in fact, actually been a minion or a co-conspirator or a sidekick of Satan. At that point, when life's game clock reads double zeros, there's no do-over. There's no forthcoming reincarnation. It's no mas, like Roberto Duran said. It's a wrap. Game over. Life, I'm just trying to be real with y'all, life is not a Netflix original series or movie. Deathbed confessions are rare. It's only those of an unclean spirit who give to Satan that which belongs to God, namely their eternal fidelity. There's only two destinations available to human beings. One, a celebration with God. Two, punishment in hell with the enemies of God. God is patient. God is love perfected. He does not want anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. However, you should not fool with him. You should not fool with him. Should you mistake his kindness for weakness, his mercy, y'all say that with me, mercy. Say it with a little soul, mercy. You got to put your lips together a little bit, mercy. His mercy for indifference, you will reap what you sow. At whatever point he concludes, which is unknown to man, eventually God will give you over to the filthy slop that you enjoy rolling around in so much. But thanks be to God, and just to be clear, I'm talking to everybody in here. faculty, staff, students, visitors, parents, whoever you are, this does not have to be your biography's miserable end. No time is like the present. So while you still have a chance, while you still have a chance with borrowed blood warming your veins right now, you can surrender to the lordship of Jesus the Christ who lived, come on, and bled and died and resurrected himself. He didn't get no help. He resurrected himself on the third day on your behalf. He left us the Holy Spirit. He ascended back to heaven, and until he comes again, soon and very soon, he's seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf. If you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, Scripture says you will be saved. For no one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. But let me tell you something. You cannot experience salvation by proxy. You cannot send someone in your place. You cannot send your avatar to do business with God on your behalf. You can't send God a meme and think that you'll laugh your way into the kingdom of heaven. Sin is no laughing matter. Go in peace.